Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
Go ahead.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's got him loaded now. Runners go and a swing and a shot. And it's in the left field. Goes under the glove of Nunez. This will bring in two runs. 2-0 Houston.
Greeny's in trouble. He's hitting the balls out. And it's going to be recovered by Bailey in Kansas City.
What are we doing?
The Patriots commit their first turnover.
It's the worst play by Brady in a long time.
Two on with one away. He's on the first pitch. Down the right field line. Down by the pesky pole. And it is gone. Three-run home run knockout punch for the Astros.
Snap to Mahomes. Play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claiborne. Moves up. Fires deep downfield. And Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon. Down the left sideline. 10-5. Gone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that happens. You know, you get out there. Sometimes you're battling yourself, and that was definitely the case.
This game was over as soon as the last out was made, so we're, got to flush this one, get ready for tomorrow. That's the only thing.
It's just one game. Just got to come out tomorrow and continue to play, compete.
Brady under center, gives it to Michelle, runs it to the left side, plowing his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
That's the way you capitalize off a defensive turnover. Got a running game down in there. I like that.
And then a swing and a liner in the right field. A base hit. In the score is Betts. It's an RBI. And the Red Sox have the lead. 1-0 in the first inning.
Brady takes the head high snap against the three-man rush. He lobs a throw left for Edelman, who's open and backpedals to make the catch in the left side of the end zone for a Patriots touchdown.
That's the way you put it in that spot right there, Mahomes.
Two Devers in the left field, a base hit. Benintendi scores the run, 2-0.
Mahomes drops back, fires down the middle, picked off by Hightower. Hagman right to the 25-20. Hightower to the 15-10. Hurdles the quarterback, and he's dropped inside the 5.
This place is hit up now.
Right center, it's down. Devers will score with an RBI double. Here's Mookie Betts.
Michelle runs it to the right side, in for a second touchdown of the night as the Patriots expand their lead.
Quarterback is fired up, man.
With the chance of MVP rating down on him before that pitch.
You know, we had control, and then we let them back in the game with some, you know, the fumble was a bad play. But, you know, they were making plays on offense. We were making plays. We talked about competing for 60 minutes, and yeah, that's what it took.
3:50 to go. The four-minute offense from the offset eye. Brady fakes to Michelle. Throws down the middle. Gronk is wide open at the 30. That's one off to the 40. Gronk to the 45. A stiff arm. Knocks Parker to the ground. Rumbling to the 45-40. Shoves out of bounds at the Kansas City 37 by Reggie Ragland.
What you call a tight end? What a play call by McDaniels. My God.
In the air, left field. That is slicing. Down in the corner, and it is off the wall. Two runs are in. And Devers is going to score. It's a three-run double. Jackie Bradley Jr. Boston on top.
Brady, who takes the snap, backs up, fires. No, he pumps. And he's hit. He moves up. He's going to run. He dives into the end zone. A touchdown. Kowski from the 18-yard line to the 28-yard attempt for the win. Tied at 40. Turns toward Gostkowski. Now to Cardona. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail. 43-40.
What a night.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, you just heard. The voice of the Patriots right here on your home of the Patriots. Bob Soucy is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. And Bob Soucy, I'll tell you what, you probably lost some weight last night with that humdinger.
What? That was exhausting at the end of the game, but after hearing that montage, I'm definitely rejuvenated.
All right, so
awesome night.
Yeah, it was great. It was fun. It was fun as hell. But a lot of scoring, not a lot of defense.
A little concerning.
Let's just start with your takeaways from what you saw out of Kansas City. I mean, Mahomes is obviously the real deal, right? And they're going to be a pain in the ass this year, correct?
No question about it. And if these teams meet again, it'll be tough enough to beat them in Foxborough a second time. And you don't want to face them in Arrowhead. Especially with the crowd there and having to deal with that from an offensive perspective. But, Mahomes was terrific in so many ways, and I thought especially the fact that he made that second mistake in the first half of the interception into the end zone, the Patriots go into the locker room in control with momentum, the two-score lead, and then he comes out unfazed. And, just a tremendous athlete with a rifle for right arm. And, a couple of those throws were – really something to watch. And then at the end, of course, it's Brady, who's the standard bearer, who does it again for the Pats after his mistake, as we heard late in the game. And there wasn't a lot of defense, you're right, but I thought what was really important to the outcome of the game was the red zone defense early by the Patriots. They were able to keep Kansas City out of the end zone three times on red zone trips, including that aforementioned drive late in the first half.
A lot of mistakes
came up with the interception.
Yeah, lot of mistakes, though, by Mahomes. The Patriots got pretty lucky.
Yeah, he missed some throws early, and I think part of the mistakes, though, in crediting the Patriots and their game plan is that they had him confused early on. I was talking to their announcer at halftime, and he's seen everything from everybody, but he definitely looked like he was having some difficulty early on with the way the Patriots were lining up, for example, in a cover zero with no safeties back there, and then at the snap, some guys were bailing out. Other guys were rushing. They got some pressure on him with some zone concepts. There was one particular play where they blitzed Harmon, and then guys dropped off the line, and that was one of those plays that stood out. So I think the Patriots went in with a very good game plan. He made adjustments, and then the Pats had so much difficulty in the second half trying to keep up with their speed, which is incredible, and obviously some breakdowns, as we know, including on that 75-yard pass.
All right, Bob, I obviously have not watched the All-22 yet, and
just a matter of time.
Well, listen, I got a date at 11:30 with my little teleprompter to figure all that out, but I do know that Rob Gronkowski was quiet for the majority of the game, and of course he has one of the biggest plays of the game near the end. And ended up getting almost 100 yards just from three receptions. But Burt Breer this morning in MMQB says after watching him that he believes something is off with Rob Gronkowski. From what you saw during the game, was there an issue with him, I guess, being able to get open or what was going on the plays that he wasn't getting the ball?
Yeah, it's hard to tell Rich calling the game because you're watching the ball as a play-by-play guy, and it isn't really until you watch the overhead coaches film where you get a chance to see everything because you get a full look at the secondary as well. I'll say this. I mean, I think we've talked about it over the last few weeks, and it really stood out for me initially in the Detroit game. That was the week after he appeared on the injury report in practice that, he maybe was not moving as well as we've been accustomed to. And there have been times over the last couple of weeks where I've thought the same, that maybe he was affected by the ankle. Perhaps it's something else that's bothering him. And you're right. I mean, last night the Chiefs did a very good job containing him as they did last year, and they did it without Eric Berry, who was on the field for most of that game in the season opener last year. When Gronk made that big catch deep downfield to set up the eventual game winner by Gostkowski, that was against basically a third-string safety who'd been signed last week, Josh Shaw. So, they did a good job, and I'll give Kansas City credit and the way they defended Gronk for most of the night, whether he was limited or not, because they were certainly limited shorthanded in their secondary, down a couple of safeties and cornerback.
When you get to Sonny Michel, and you know all about the argument that's been raging, how good is he really? Is he a product of the offensive line, or is he a product of a guy who can make some moves and make people miss? It seems like now it's option B after his knee got fully healthy.
Jen, I think we're trending toward B. I think it's a combination of both. You got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line and the way Dante Scarnecchia has schemed the run game. He has a lot of input in terms of their run design. And it's not only the offensive line, but it's the wide receivers and the tight ends who've blocked very well for him. But I think we have seen, and sometimes you see it on short runs, the improvement that Sonny Michel has made. You know, you look at the 34-yarder, for example, last week, you know, the touchdown run against Indianapolis, and that stands out. But you know, I thought last night, you know, a couple of different instances. One, being able to drive in to the pile and push your way into the end zone with the first touchdown. Four previous carries inside the 5-yard line, no scores for him. Last night, you know, he's got very powerful legs, and it's evident when you see him in person. He may be short in stature, but this is a guy who's got a really strong base. And last night, you know, had that leg drive, got into the end zone twice. And then I thought on the third and two play on the go-ahead drive for the Pats at the end, you know, that was huge because Zoe and I both looked at it and thought the same thing. He said it, but I was thinking it at the same time.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, Sonny Michel probably would have been stopped. He would have, you know, he had a tendency of running upright in those short yardage spots, but he was able to get low and slither his way underneath when it looked at first.
Yeah, yeah, but you're giving me between the tackle stuff. He had was targeted once, no receptions yesterday. That was supposed to be one of his skills, and I don't see the shiftiness.
Did you watch the pass? I mean, it wasn't a good pass.
Yeah, I'm saying he was targeted once, smartass. I'm saying if he's supposed to be a target out of the backfield, where was it?
Well, I don't think they've really used him a lot in terms of pass patterns. I mean, James White has been that guy. You know, he did a good job, I thought, in pass protection a couple of different times when he was asked to do that. You know, generally, when he's been in the lineup, if you look at the snaps, they've typically corresponded with him getting touches. He's going to get better. I think, you know, as long as he's healthy, you know, we're going to see more from him. Right now, they're not asking him to be much of a weapon in the pass game. They've got James White. You know, they didn't really throw the ball a lot in White's direction. He only had two targets until late in the game. And the one catch he had was on a screen play, and the other play was when he was running down the sideline, and it might have been, you know, Brady's third option on the play, and he threw it deep. But I think in the case of Michel, you know, look, he's not ready for a bust in Canton. But by no means is he a bust, and it's completely, I know it's Joe in large part, and I know it's part of the deal, but it's completely irresponsible to say that a guy stinks or a guy blows after 2 weeks in the NFL when he had knee surgery in early August and missed a dozen practices. This is a guy who's had over 90 yards rushing over the course of the last three games, and if the Patriots can pick up short yardage first downs and touchdowns, which they didn't do in last year's game against Kansas City, which ultimately, despite the Chiefs' comeback and big plays, really decided the game. The Patriots had a chance to put that game away early last year in Week 1, and Gillislee got stuffed more than a couple of times. Last night, they punched it in twice for touchdowns, and they picked up a key third-down conversion on the game-winning drive.
Well, geez, you put me in my place. I didn't mean to be so irresponsible.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about our friend in the afternoon show I'm speaking of.
All right. Well, listen, Bob Soucy, it's always a pleasure, sir. Good job.
Pleasure's all mine, guys.
And you get to go to bed at a reasonable hour next week. So.
Yeah, I'm ready to go to bed now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Fred. I don't mean to be so irritable.
Yes, you're a real jerk now. This morning.
Yeah, that's how dare you, Bob. All right, Bob, thank
lit you up.
I tell you. Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's no longer on the show. Gary Goldman is one of our favorites. He is a comedian, a local guy, and they are got cameras and everything else under the sun in here. We'll find out what's doing.
Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Gary Goldman coming on after a not only an NLCS game, but a Patriots primetime game that is the kind of bending over backward we're doing for him today.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has his big documentary crew. All right, what is going on with this documentary?
Well, I'm making a new special, and there's a backstory to it. It's the special is going to be called the Great Depression. because...
Why don't you just call Deshaun?
So, hey, it's Gary Goldman in the Shun. What's up, kids? I like that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. I'll steal it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you should steal it. Yes. So... I remember I was supposed to do a show with you guys.
Yeah, it was our 10th anniversary show.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
We promoted it for months upon months.
At the very Wilbur, you'll be performing on Friday, November 2nd.
That's right. Yeah, yes.
Yes.
But I had to cancel, and I don't know how much information they gave about why I was canceling.
It's because you hated us. I think that's quite... That was the way it was sold.
You found
to
something
us.
Better to do.
Yeah, right.
No, no. The truth was I was very sick with the depression. I was... Yeah.
It was real.
Yeah, yeah. I was in the fetal position. I was really... My girlfriend described it. She said, all you were doing was sleeping and crying. And I said, I remember watching Better Call Saul. So that's... That's an exaggeration. Yes, yes. There was 1 hour where I escaped the. Yeah.
No. Okay.
So now, did you just cancel everything that was going on?
I canceled everything that was going on, and I was going to stop doing. I couldn't perform, which is my job requires 45 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even do this. I was so anxious. I was biting my lip till it would bleed every morning, and I was just shaking all the time.
No, it came out of nowhere?
I was such a mess. No, I mean, I'd always had a low level of depression over the years, but it was never this severe, and it never lasted that long.
You taking anything? Because I've taken everything.
I'm taking everything. I'm on everything but roller skates right now.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I got to Paxil.
Okay.
And I got Lamotrigine.
Had it. Yes. Yes. Of course. Wait, Butrin, Zoloft, Paxil, Abilify, Lamictal, Cymbalta.
I've literally taken all of those.
Yes.
But right now we're sensible. We got a little Paxil, a little Lamotrigine.
Yes. Yeah.
It's, even me out a little bit.
Yes, it's the cocktail that works. Taking them one at a time was never enough. I always had to double up, and then there's always the Klonopin in case I get really anxious. Like the day I moved, I was all Klonopin. Yeah,
yeah, but the bad thing about the Klonopin is if you take it to go to sleep, guess what? You're never sleeping again.
Well, I know.
Because that's happened to me before. I'm like, hey, having trouble getting some shut-eye. Oh, wait. Two's not doing anything, so I'm basically fighting through this whole thing. But
have you been able to find out kind of what the trigger was or what the root was, or is there?
I think it might have just been growing up in the 70s. I think always being afraid of being kidnapped,
like
we were, and also I probably have some sort of chemical predilection towards depression and anxiety, but it had never been this bad. I was diagnosed with it like 18 or 19. I started seeing a therapist when I was a freshman in college, which in 89 you had to sneak in and out. I was so embarrassed to go see a therapist, and he gave me his card. I was like, what if somebody finds this on me?
You're on a date and you leave your wallet on the table.
Right. Yes.
I'm here with some psychopaths.
Yes. We've come so far thanks to the Sopranos. Making it cool to see a therapist, but also threaten her life every once in a while.
Sure,
you can work through all the murder.
Yes,
you know, we can work through our own issues.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So now, is this? Do you believe that maybe it was this depression that you've had? Is that maybe why you're a comedian? Because I know that that's kind of almost a, I don't want to say a stereotype, is that people who are comedians have kind of a sad side to them, and that's why they're so outgoing.
I think there are. A few things going on. I think one, it's a job that depressive people can excel at because you're not required to be up early and you can stay up late night. And usually, I don't know how your depression works, but I feel much better at night than I do first thing in the morning.
You know what? I don't get that.
That's why he does morning radio.
Yes.
Perfect schedule.
I don't get like super depressed. If I do, it's because of anxiety. But there's mornings that I wake up and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is going to be a doozy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is going to be hard to get through.
Yeah. But the other thing is that comedians are so much quicker to talk about their depression with people and be honest about it. So we know that they're depressed, whereas most people hide it really well. And until you tell them that you're depressed, they don't feel comfortable telling you about their husband or their wife or their family member who's depressed. So we've come a long way. as far as being more open about it. Thank God, because it was like so the only like it got so bad. I was in the hospital with it in May of last year, and then for a time in 2016 as well. And before I went in, my only experience was Girl Interrupted and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So I was terrified. Yeah. I was like, yes, there may be gorgeous women in there, but they're going to be attacking me constantly. And it was very ordinary. It was like a regular hospital floor, except that the payphone cord was the length of a birthday candle wick. That was the only difference.
You had to give your shoelaces up.
Yeah, I had to give them my shoelaces and my phone, which was a tremendous relief to not be able to check email or texts for 3 weeks was such a relief.
Do you think that social media might have exasperated it? Or is that the right word? It might have made it worse, because we're in a place now where anyone can say anything to you at any time, and it's right there in your pocket.
No, I actually, for the most part, have very polite fans. Okay. And I wish I was not for a day. Yeah, I'm not, right, I'm not that controversial. Like, I was listening to you guys coming in, and the cruelty towards Wallach was just...
Wallach!
I would have.
Where's Wallach going?
That's a.
He's got the Rhea.
That is a crap that is not going to wait. That is an unanswered crap.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
he didn't even look back.
He's never even done it before. We have a guest in studio with a documentary. Get that documented. That he has to take a dump so bad that he walked out of the studio without saying anything.
He sprinted.
Oh my gosh!
You know what's great? He can hear you in there right now.
Oh, really?
So would you like to speak to John Wallach, who's right now in the restroom?
Oh my gosh,
John Wallach, poor John, that guy who called in and gave him such a hard time about not getting any of Grandy's work. That was because there's probably part of Wallach that's like, yeah, maybe I'm going to get 20, 30 games, and because of this thing, and that guy just shot him down, but not very clearly. The man was stumbling all over his pre-prepared words. You could tell that he had written down these mean things he was saying to Wallach. Just so sad.
Now, Gary Goldman, he's going to be at the Wilbur on November 2nd. You can get tickets at the Wilbur.com. Now, are your parents still living? I don't know.
I have one. I have one left. I have a mom left.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
So how did your mother handle the whole thing about you going to the hospital and all this stuff? How did she handle that?
She was very supportive, but she doesn't really understand it as well as I do. So she didn't really. I had to explain. I gave her books that she didn't read.
Yeah.
But because they're very complex and they get into chemistry and things like that. Welcome back, Wallach.
How'd it go, Wallach?
John, did you just make feces?
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe.
John, you got an attack. You had to leave immediately.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
You've never done that.
No, never.
Wow.
Never happened.
You and Chris Sales got the same thing.
It's amazing. You know, we were talking about it earlier, and then something about you being here, Gary.
Wow.
I don't know what it is.
I hugged you. I hope I'm not going to get...
No.
You're fairly strong.
Malaria.
There was a point where I thought when Gary was talking about it and I was talking about it that you just like had this actual like... what do you call it there?
A panic attack?
No. Epiphany.
Yeah.
That you were very depressed. I thought that might have been the case.
It's contagious.
Right. It was the Granny thing that set you off.
Right. No.
Right. All right. We're going to keep Gary in studio. We will be right back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bush. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Gary Goldman in studio.
I was, Gary, I was telling Fred before you came in.
Yeah.
That maybe this is another one reason to feel like, you know, pretty good this morning is that you
and
have
John
a
ran out to take a dump in the middle of the
and night. He did. He ran out to take a dump, and now he's feeling nice and cleansed. Is that you got a fan in Miss Shirtonly? My mother is your biggest fan now.
Really?
Oh, and this is a new thing
that makes me so happy.
It was like 2 months ago. I sent her the clip of you doing, you know, your one of your most famous bits about these state abbreviations.
Oh yeah, that's my American Pie.
Oh yeah, right. That's the big one. Yeah. You end with that one. Everyone's yelling. Do people yell out bits, by the way, when you're in concert?
Yes.
That's got to be annoying.
It's not. It's actually really flattering. and it's never distracting, and it makes, when people quote me back to me, it's a little bit delusional to ever think that's going to happen, and then when it happens, it makes me very happy. I'm very satisfied by that, but I think that people would rather see new material. I knew when I used to go see comedians, I was like, he's doing the same thing I saw him.
That's
do
like
last
the Seinfeld thing.
Yeah. So I wanna give them a new show, and then sometimes at the end, if I have time, but lately I haven't had time, I'll do a request from the audience. And I think I did the abbreviations on New Year's Eve at the Chevalier, but it was at the end of a 2 hour show. So
well, yeah, you got in, 2 hours in mind. Of,
2 hours of material.
You got over 2 hours of new material that you've written
since my last special. Yes.
Yeah, see, that's impressive.
Which was 2016.
So stop asking for the old stuff.
Well, I was actually gonna have my mom call in and just say how much she went down a rabbit hole. Now she's obsessed
that's
with
so
you.
Great.
However, she is on a massive amounts of drugs because she went got some surgery, and I just FaceTimed her this weekend.
Oh, really?
just for kicks and giggles. She was tasting colors, and I'm sitting there,
right.
And I'm like, Mom, I'm going to record you and play on the air. And she goes, you do that. And I'm like, no, you don't want that.
See,
trust me.
But Gary, not only is she of retirement age, she's also a devout Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand that. Yeah.
And has followed
but you know who else was a Jew? Mary. Mary of Nazareth.
That's right.
Jesus had a Jewish mother.
Yes.
So there's some overlap there. So
okay.
Yeah,
so perhaps...
She wasn't born Mary Christ. She was born... Wallach knows this. It's Miriam Feinberg.
Really, you see, that's the
Miriam
thing.
Feinberg,
I really don't know that.
Of West Bethlehem Heights. She married a carpenter, and the family went crazy because she was supposed to marry the butcher, Laser Wolf. Now I'm crossing Jesus Christ Superstar and Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, aren't they the same?
Conflating.
It's like if you watch... Wizard of Oz while Pink Floyd...
Right. It syncs up. But I watched Fiddler on the Roof this year with my girlfriend, who's she's a black woman, and she said, well, what is Fiddler on the Roof? And I said, it's our Black Panther. It's the biggest movie that was all Jewish. It was just,
you didn't go Yentl on her?
Nobody saw Yentl. Every Jew saw Fiddler on the Roof.
She goes, I'll raise your Streisand.
Yes.
No, John is completely lapsed. I am far more Jewish than John.
Because you're married to...
Oh, right. Yeah, Wallach is lapsed like every American Jew.
Well.
You're either so Jewish or not Jewish at all. And the thing with Jews is anybody more Jewish than you, they're crazy. And if they're less Jewish than you, they're not Jewish at all.
Yeah.
They might as well be Catholic.
Well, he's turned his back. No Yom Kippur, no Rosh Hashanah.
What?
True story.
Oh, my gosh.
True story.
Ugh, I'm afraid to do that. That God would turn on me if I pulled that. Like,
so
my life could get worse.
So you've actually thought about doing that? And you're too scared
I've considered it. I've been influenced by Bill Maher and Penn Jillette over the years.
Okay.
And every time I consider it, I'm like, oh, God would kill me for this.
Yeah, but like, how hard is Yom Kippur if you don't go all in? Like
exactly.
If you just have something
fast
at your house.
Until lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And like, there's nothing written that you have to go to synagogue.
No.
So yeah. So I always tell Wallach, what's so hard?
Yeah.
About just doing a Passover Seder. No. There's nothing hard about it.
No. I've attended them. I just have not thrown.
That's
one.
Why you'll never get the Celtics gig.
That's probably
God punishing you.
That's the reason.
You know, I know all about that with the Catholic guilt over
yes.
on this guy.
We oh my God!
You said 5-year contract.
Oh, I'm not kidding you. There's something inside of me that, like, during Lent, if I like break my Lent thing and something bad happens to me, like I get like rear end or whatever, it's because I had a ham sandwich.
Oh, my mother, when I used to stub my toe as a kid. While I was acting up, my mother would say, "See, God punished you," which that's my introduction to God.
Yeah,
this,
God's up there.
This petty man who punishes little kids for acting up by excruciating toe pain.
Yeah, God's up on a cloud going, "Hey, this Goldman kid, he's acting up.
Yes.
Give him a light injury."
Yes, yes. And the other thing, I'm always thanking God when I find my iPhone. I lose it and I find it. Oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Because I just feel my life unraveling around me when I can't find it.
I lost my wallet the other day, and I believe that I thanked God when I found it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm not being ironic.
Oh, yeah. There's a legitimate thing that my wife's mother does when we're driving around. She goes, Hail Mary, full of grace, thank you for the parking space. It's like a thing to her that she has to say when she's in a parking lot.
But nobody is more dedicated than Dominican baseball players. I saw an Oriole. Now, we know how far back the Orioles were. Next season, they have to play hockey. That's how bad they are. This guy got a base hit, crossed himself, kissed the life-size crucifix swinging from his neck, then pointed to God. And I'm sure Jesus is up there. Yeah, I don't control the singles.
Who am I, Moses?
Yeah. Right, you hit a game winner in the World Series.
Yes, then kiss the cross, but not a base hit.
Yeah,
Orioles.
Yeah,
there's a scale of like when you should thank God and when it's just supposed to happen.
Pinch yourself and then thank God. Yeah,
Don't be so demonstrative.
Right, triples or more. You know, at least a triple to thank God.
Yes, and it assumes that Jesus is watching regular season baseball of cellar dwellers.
Well, he's obviously he or she is obviously. Very into European soccer, just like the rest of the world.
Yes.
It's how selfish of us as Americans to think that Jesus is focusing on regular season baseball.
Yes.
All right, so Gary, you're doing better. You're feeling good.
Yes,
you got all this new material.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you make jokes about you going through depression, right?
Going through depression, through the hospital, through all the treatments.
How do you make that funny?
Well, I've been doing it for 25 years, so I have some skill built up, but it wasn't easy. I had to put a lot of time in my notebooks and getting on stage every night. And I'd been off stage for a long time, and I missed it. When I got back, I was fervent. So right.
So you did something at a high school by where you grew up.
Yeah, I did at Peabody Veterans Memorial High School.
Okay.
A woman I graduated with runs the health center there, and they provide counseling for kids with emotional or depression or things like that. And also they act as kind of a Planned Parenthood-esque type thing, distributing condoms, I believe. And
yeah.
And so it's a really great thing, but they rely on grants. And when I was feeling better, I had coffee with her and I volunteered to do it, not thinking she would take me up on it, because it was like a reunion. It was like 800 people, and most of them I had gone to high school with and things, and it was like a nightmare come true when you think about it. I'm going to have to entertain these people. But because I could make jokes about the bus routes and things that were so
jokes
local.
Jokes you can't tell
anywhere.
Did
I had collected 2 hours of very local Linfield and Peabody, talking about how Linfield is like this affluent city that you have to drive through to get to Peabody, which is more working class, and how I used to blindfold my college girlfriend when we got to Linfield so that she wouldn't have high expectations of who she was dating, because the houses are one-tenth the size. The Andelmans grew up in Linfield, just for a reference. Yes, yes.
When
the Phantom gives it a 99.
Everybody, yeah. We checked out this barbecue place.
High quality comfort food
with a little side of pizzazz.
All right. So, did you feel the need to, like, you wanted to point out, and you're like, hey, Bob, remember when you lied about getting laid or something like that? Did you?
Or you ran out of class to go use the restroom?
It was just, I don't know if you guys did this, but growing up, we would give kids nicknames based on a physical flaw that would last their entire life. And I was like, there was this one kid who moved to school in fifth grade, and he made the mistake of having a prominent forehead. And he's in my phone right now as Forehead. And I got a text over the summer, bad news, buddy, Forehead's grandfather died. I'm like, all right, so we're not going to suspend the nickname for a death in the family. We're monsters.
Send flowers. Hey, Forehead, whatever.
How's little Forehead taking this?
If you need anyone to talk to, Forehead, just send a message. All right. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure to see you, Gary.
Thanks so much for having me in, guys.
Anytime.
And thanks for understanding.
Oh,
and,
no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hope we didn't ruin your...
make it up to you on the 15th or the next one. Maybe, how about a bar mitzvah, 13?
Oh, that would be awesome.
We could have bar mitzvah. John's not invited.
No, you're not invited. But
he'll be the only one not invited.
Oh, no. Are you even circumcised? You are.
That's not a,
was it a bris situation?
I don't remember.
But no one's ever told you?
No one has ever told me.
We gave my son a bris. Oh, boy.
It was fine being Jewish when he was kissing girls at Jewish summer camp.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
You went to Camp Young?
Camp Young Judea. True story.
And then
Amherst, New Hampshire.
He turns his back on us.
I know.
You know, I married into it, and I'm all for it.
See, I went the opposite direction. I married a Catholic, so I have the excuse.
No, there's no excuse, really. There's no excuse. But, all right, Gary, it's always
thanks
a pleasure
so much,
to see
guys.
You. Friday, November 2nd, I suggest that you go out to see this. It's always a good night. At the Wilbur, for more information and tickets, visit the
I think
Wilbur.
There are about 40 tickets left.
Oh, okay. Well, let's call it out now. TheWilbur.com. See Gary Goldman. Local boy done good. When we come back, we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.